I want to give you six essentials. Six essentials to a real revival. Now, this revival meeting that's coming up, we call it our youth revival. That doesn't mean that those of us that may not be considered youth do not play a vital role. Nor, as I shared with the young people before this service, does it mean that they don't play a vital role. We all have a part to play. The young people can play the most important part. As a matter of fact, they could play the most important part of the church entirely. God set a few of them really aflame and seek God's face. It could change the whole face of a Wise Ball Community Church, as it were, in the sense of God's presence. But we all play an important part, and I want us to take at least a little notice tonight of six essentials to real revival. The first essential, the very first essential, would be that we have a powerful presence and help of the Holy Spirit. We need the powerful presence of God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And now I know that that can become cliche to us. We can arrive at the point where we think that, well, you know, as long as we go to church and as long as we are faithful to God's house, that really there's no reason why we can't have God's presence. But we need a special anointing, a special touch of the presence of God. Now, I can't help but when I talk about that, when I think about that, I can't help but thinking also of the negative aspect, what it means or what it takes to quench the Spirit of God. I don't know, perhaps you have been in services before, like I have been, where the presence of God was in the midst. Things were going wonderfully well. It was a good spirit in the service. There was an encouragement and an uplifting when suddenly something took place. Whether it was a recognizable something or not, something took place that killed the service. Probably most often we would be able to recognize what killed it. But sometimes perhaps there was something that happened that did kill it that we couldn't recognize. Perhaps those are the things that are hidden within the mind of people that may be sitting in the congregation. What does it take to quench the Spirit of God? Things that would hinder God moving in our midst would be factions, divisions. Hindrances to the Spirit of God many times are very real within our own spirit. Nobody else really knows about it except for perhaps the people that are involved. Unity of the Spirit, unity of our own minds with our brothers and our sisters is a very important part of having the Spirit of God present among us. It's easy to have a unity superficially, but it's more than just a superficial unity where we tolerate somebody. We don't have a problem sitting as long as we're sitting a long ways across the church from somebody. We tolerate them. That's not really having a deep spirit of unity. We need to have those things patched because they will inevitably hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Quench not the Spirit of God. In order to have the powerful presence and help of the Holy Spirit, not only should we not quench the Spirit, but we should also within our mind, within our heart, have the desire, the openness, that we are going to have full obedience to what He says. Full obedience to His leading. Perhaps I labor on this particular thought too much, but I know it's a very real aspect of our lives, mine as well as yours. And that would be to do the best that we can to minimize the distractions in our lives. talked to the young people just a little bit about it before the service, about the things that took place in school that day, if it's during the week. It's easy to allow that stuff to come flying back into our mind, or for us, what took place in the day, whatever it was, at work or at the store or wherever. The guy that cut us off on the road, about run us into the ditch, and laid on the horn. Oh, that's right, I'm going to church tonight. I better settle down here. But allowing all these things to come back into our mind to distract us from what we're at church for. So many things that can hinder the presence of God. But we need, as an essential to a real revival, an unhindered, powerful presence and the help of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we need a fearless yet respectful preaching of Bible truth. Now, Brother Durkee's not here to hear me say that, but that's what we need. And if I know Dan Durkee very much at all, and I think I know him well enough to say that he's going to give to us a very fearless yet respectful preaching of God's truth, Bible truth. But we need that as an essential to real revival. And if he comes giving to us night after night as the Lord would allow and plan, that respectful, fearless preaching of God's truth to us, then it would go without saying that we as listeners need to be receptive in our hearing. Receptive in our hearing. You know, the soil of our soul. Do we allow the soil of our soul to be thorny, rocky, hard-packed? Or is the soil of our soul receptive to the seed? We need to be receptive on our part of hearing the truth that God brings to us. And then, as God speaks to us, number four would be a willingness to act on the light of the Word and the light of the Spirit as He gives it. I don't mean to be cliche tonight. We have a tendency, because this is all that we know, this is our life, church, revivals, God's Word. We read it, we study it, we hear it every Sunday, time and time again. We hear it Wednesdays, we hear it just, it's what consumes our lives. Our lives basically are focused upon this. And we can get to the point where we are somewhat calloused when it comes to receiving new light from God. It's easy for us to do, that's for them over there, that's not for me. You know, I know that they're involved with that. They need to be paying attention to that. Well, I hope so-and-so's listening. So we look around to see if they're here. Oh, man, they're not even here tonight. Well, that was right for them. Maybe I could get a tape, or maybe I could get somehow a recording of that and give that to them without them knowing who it was. Maybe. And so we're looking at somebody else and we're not even focusing. Perhaps God's wanting us to have it. I remember early on in my pastoral ministry, I was very much a rookie for a long time, probably a lot longer than most people are considered rookies. It just seemed like it took me forever to get a handle on much of anything. But I preached a message, I was preaching as hard as I could preach. And I knew it was for somebody. I knew who it was for, I'm saying. Lo and behold, if a little older lady didn't come up to me after the church, after the service, and say, "Brother Ziegler, that was just for me." And I'm like, "That was for you?" You see, God has His way of speaking to our heart, even in the midst of things that may not be just on the outside, just as clear as crystal for me or for you. But if we would allow God to speak through that, a willingness to act on the light of the Word receptive acceptance. Number five, an essential to real revival is, well, it's a four-letter word. We don't like four-letter words, but it's a four-letter word, W-O-R-K, work. All the personal work that everyone can contribute. There's a lot of different aspects about work, personal work in regards to real revival or an essential to real revival. Inviting people to come, letting people know about it. And when you invite people to come, just a little bit of excitement helps. Yeah, we're in revival this week. We got this young guy coming from Pennsylvania. He's going to talk to us way too much about hunting. He's not going to have a whole lot of good to say to me, but because I need to be there, I just, we're going to be in revival. If you want to come, have at it. I'll bet you they come, don't you? Oh, we're not supposed to bet. One of the most important parts, though, to personal work is the last essential here, number six, earnest, believing, prevailing prayer. It's called knee work. You've heard it before, knee work. Maybe your knees don't work in that way. You have to sit or walk. But still the concept is there, knee work, going before God, prevailing prayer. James 5:16 tells us that the prayer of a righteous person, the fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. If you're like me, it's easy to get into a rut sometimes and just say words. But when we feel the passion of it, when we feel the urgency of it, then we find it a little easier to get out of our rut and pray in such a way that would express more fervency. I had a friend one time that was her father was dying, went into a coma, unsaved. The doctors gave no hope of ever coming out of that coma. And so there was very little hope to this daughter that her dad would ever be saved. You know, that's a tragic thought. Someone's dying and there's not much chance of them ever having an opportunity again of getting saved. And that realization ought to eat at us if we were ever in that position. It ought to really stir us to a very strong urgency when one of our family members especially is lost. Not going to make it to heaven. And so they began to pray. Her and her husband, family members joined in with them. Prayed that God would somehow grant to that person, that dad, just a little bit of a reprieve from that coma. It would be a miracle in itself. You know, that's exactly what God did. But I don't believe it took place just because someone said a few words. I believe that they became passionate and fervent about the need, the situation. It was of dire circumstances. It was a last-ditch effort. And God answered that prayer. He came out of that coma and asked for his son-in-law and said, I need to get right with God. It was a miracle. You see, we need to have that same fervency when it comes to revival meeting. Actually, we need to have a fervency all the year long, but revival meeting would bring us into a closer focus to seek God, to have fervent prayer. In the midst of this earnest, believing, prevailing prayer, it would be good for us individually to take somebody on our heart to pray for. Just perhaps one person per person. A burden for that person. Allow God to strap the saddle of that burden upon our back. And in doing so, develop the passion for their soul. It might mean that it would take some time out of our day to get close to that individual, to put our figurative arm, as it were, around them and spend time with them and focus our attention upon that person so that we then would have more of a passion to pray fervently for that individual. You know the old familiar text. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But the recipe is there. The recipe is there. Humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. Six essentials to real revival: a powerful presence of God, the Holy Spirit in our midst, fearless yet respectful preaching of Bible truth, a receptive hearing on our part, and then a willingness to act on the light that God gives to us, and all the personal work that everyone can contribute, and earnest, believing, prevailing prayer. Let's stand together tonight.